Anyway, appreciate the four-part harmony. We, when everybody else was playing football and baseball and track and all of those stuff, this fat kid was majoring in lettering in choir, amen, throughout high school. So, anyway, I was a baritone back then. Through the years, I've got a little bassier. I still hit more baritone notes than I do the bass notes, but anyway. And we go to the Island Ford goes to two nursing homes once a month to sing. There's time that Jesse will stand by me and we'll try to do the bass line. But appreciate the good music this morning on the Jericho Road. I hadn't sang that one in a while, and it just was a blessing to sing, hear that song music. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, we're going to begin. We're just going to go through kind of quickly through 1 Samuel here, thoughts this morning. And it's amazing how God lines things up. I was kind of concerned about some things, but then the Lord seems to have eased a little bit of my concern. And I'm still trying to get used to these glasses. I can probably read better without them than I can with them. Amen. let's see here. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's begin reading. Let's see here. Let's just read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll pray and then bring the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and preferred judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, dear God, for your love, your mercy, and your graces, and Lord, for the Word of God we've enjoyed already, pre-Sunday school and in Sunday school. Thank you for the prayer time, for the songs of the saints, and the good harmony among the people as far as the music goes. I pray that you'd give harmony in our hearts this morning according to the Word of God and for the Word of God and in the Word of God. I pray that you'll empower me and anoint me, for I stand in need of thee this morning. And I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. And amen. And for sake of a title, I forget what Brother Hall says, a title is like a curl in a pig's tail. It's kind of cute, but it doesn't give any flavor to the pork. Amen. So, I mean, we get, I guess just people just have gotten so used to alliterating things and titling things and whatever. So sometimes I have some alliteration, sometimes I don't. And it's kind of a mixed bag this morning. But we see here, and you know the story, here is the setting of the story, setting of the scene, that partly because of Samuel's sons not following after him, not judging wisely, but just we see there in verse number 7 the fact that in verse number 8, ever since that the Lord had brought them up out of Egypt unto that day that they had forsaken him and served other gods, and so they were doing that even then. They didn't want God to rule over them. They didn't want that theocracy. They didn't. That was God's way, God being head over it all. and using judges underneath that, which was discussed last week in the order of government, amen. But then they rejected and they wanted a king. And Samuel was disturbed about that. And displeased Samuel, the Bible tells us there in verse number 6, that they said, give us a king. But the Lord explained that to Samuel and said, give them a king. So we see there Israel's wanting. They wanted a king. But then Samuel went to them and said, God said, I'll give you a king. I like this in this next part here. And so we see the warning. Samuel warns the people of what they're going to have if they have a king. Verse number 8 to see, verse number 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly. God is telling Samuel to protest solemnly unto the people and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. So Samuel did according to what the Lord said. It says, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And he shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man to his city. So with the warning of Samuel. Samuel said, if you get a king, your men, your choice young men, and all of your daughters will be servants to the king. They'll be coming out of your fields, and they're going to be working in the king's fields. They're going to be coming out of your household, and they'll be working in the king's household. Your goods, a tenth of your goods, a tenth of your olivage, your vineyards, was going to be going to the king. But yet, they had that warning, but yet, nevertheless, the Bible tells us in verse number 19, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, nay, but we will have a king over us. I've heard two or three different men preach along these lines, not the lines that I'm preaching this morning, but preach along the lines using this text, one of them at least. Be careful to ask certain things because you might get what you asked for. And they got what they asked for, but then when they got what they asked for, they didn't want what they got. Amen. And so we got to be careful what we ask for, because sometimes when we ask for it and God gives it to us, we realize it's not exactly what we wanted. And so that's exactly what happened. Again, we're skipping several verses and parts of the chapter here. And so we see the anointing of Samuel. Chapter number 10, verse number 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, the anointing of Saul, and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And of course, Saul was confused about that. Verse 21 of the previous chapter, verse number 9, and Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, my family the least of all families, the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? So Samuel told Saul that he was going to be king, And he actually anoints him there in chapter 10 and verse number 1. And then verse number 24 of chapter, or let's see. Let's go to number 7, verse number 7. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, because Samuel prophesying or telling Saul what was going to be happening, people he was going to meet, if you'll read all this. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are coming to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. So the Bible tells us clearly that God was with Saul. Amen. He was anointed king over Israel. God was with him. Verse number 24, and Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, and there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. And of course it described just exactly how Saul was. Saul was in verse number 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. A tall man. A tall man of stature. And looking to him, he was very kingly apparently because of that. Although here in verse number 21, he considered himself the least of his family and the least of the tribes and so on and so forth. And if Saul had kept that attitude, then maybe he would have made a good king. But we know that he didn't. And again, you can read that for yourself. But see here, so he was anointed there in verse number 1 and presented to the people in verse number 24 and accepted of the people as their king. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere with this. All right, so we see a wanting, a warning, an anointing, and an appointing. Amen. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1, 1 Samuel 10, verse 21. So the children of Israel wanted it. Samuel warned, Samuel anointed, and then they appointed him king over Israel. Now, if you would turn to chapter number 15, I'm skipping through the story here. We won't speak of all of Saul's downfalls. I'll just mention them. Impatient waiting on Samuel, and he offered sacrifice and stepped out of his place and stepped over from the kingship into the place of the prophet, place of the priest, which he had no business doing. And then we know that he was told by God to go up and to kill everything, man, woman, boy, child, all of the flocks of all that people. But he kept back the choice of the sheep and things like that, and he disobeyed God in that, and he even spared the king. And that displeased the Lord. I heard one preacher preach, I wrote it in the margin of my Bible, verse number 14 of chapter number 15, and Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And the preacher preached, dead sheep don't bleat. Amen. And they don't. Disobedience seen in Saul's life here. And so it displeased the Lord because of his disobedience. Of course, very familiar passage of Scripture there in verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Because he started backpedaling. He started to try and excuse himself right prior to this verse. And as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, God help us, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. We get the rebellion part, but lots of preachers look over that stubbornness part, and I have to say, oh me, sometimes. Since stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we see God's repentance there in verse number 11. If you'll back up there, it says, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now I looked And so God's repentance is different from our repentance. Matthew Henry very eloquently puts it in this way. Repentance in God is not as it is in us, a change of his mind, but it is a change of his method or dispensation. He does not, I like this phrase right here, and this puts it together. He does not alter his will, but he wills an alteration. And I thought that was really good. So when it said, when God repent, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, then he but see, God knows the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end. He just allows us little phrases in there to help us understand, you know, what is in God's mind at that particular time. And it repented him that he set up Saul. But there again, he knew that it was for a reason that he set up Saul, and he knew that the people, you know, and he warned the people, and that this was coming. Again, he knew the end from the beginning. He told Samuel. He said, "You tell him this," and exactly what Samuel told him before Saul was ever anointed and set up king. That's exactly what Saul was. So he knew Saul's heart from the beginning, and he knew what Saul would do from the beginning. But it still, when it says it repented him, it's not that he changed his mind and he wished he never had done it. It's just that he had another option in mind. Amen. And he had another plan. He knew he had another king in mind. And we're going to see that here in just a little bit. So we see God's repentance in verse number 11, but we see God's rejection in verse number 23, which I've read before you. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Amen. And then we see again in verse number 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. Samuel had a burden. Most men of God have a burden for the people, even and especially when he sees the people doing wrong, you know, and a lot of people don't understand. I didn't get my whole message preached back in April. I mean, God just said to stop it where I stopped it. But I went, you know, if you'll remember, I talked about how the pastor sees and the pastor hears and whatever. And a lot of people, and I said, most people don't understand the pastor's heart. They don't understand how it grieves, you know, and to hear some men. What's the word I'm looking for? To hear some men almost, well, it almost sounds sometimes like they're glorying in punishment of the flock or what. You know, all through the scripture, a true man of God doesn't glory in seeing his God's children or the flock, if you will, come to punishment, come to correction. It doesn't, I mean, for us fathers in here, it doesn't. It obedience. It pleased God by the full. It pleased God there in Isaiah when stripes. I didn't understand that. I never had understood that scripture, and this wasn't in my notes, so that's why I'm. But where Isaiah 53, I believe it is. Let's see here. By his stripes, let's see here. He was oppressed. Where we go? Yeah. Wounded, chastisement. Oppressed, afflicted. Yeah, verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And we see the sufferings of Christ at the beginning of this chapter. And when it said in verse number 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, I always, for a long time, I wrestled with that. I said, how in the world could it please the Father to bruise the Son? It was because the Son obeyed the Father. Amen. In this, when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, as he went to Calvary. You know, I have seven children. That's been established. Amen. And it doesn't please me when I have to lay the stripes on my children. It pleases me when my children, sometimes because of the stripes, obey me. You know, it pleases me when I don't have to give them the stripes. If I say, please go do this, and they go do this, this pleases me as a father. But when there's times that I have to give them the stripes on the rear ends, amen, to bring them to obedience. A willful obedience is much more pleasing to the Father than an unwillful obedience. You know, and there, the Bible talks about the one father said, you know, go do this. And he said, you know, I'm not going to. But then he repented and went ahead. He changed his mind and went ahead and did it. And the other one said he would do it, but then he didn't go do it. Now, which was better? The one that says, I'm not going to do it, but then he changed his mind on his own and went and done it. That's more pleasing to the Father. And so it pleases him. And so, but it saddens the father and it saddens the preacher when God has to, when the children reject God, even Saul here, it really, even though Saul even knew what it was, I'm sorry, Samuel even knew what they were going to get under Saul and in Saul, but yet he also knew that God had anointed him and appointed him over Israel. And it hurt Samuel here at this juncture. He mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So Samuel was mourning, and God told him to get up. Quit mourning. I've got somebody else in mind. And so verse number 10, of course, there's other places that rehearses this. Verse number 10, again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Amen. And so I seen it later on in the scripture, but I went ahead and put number 8 beside that verse, that David was the 8th child of Jesse. Amen. The 8th son of Jesse. And of course, in the Bible, 8 is a new beginning. And I never had seen this before, and that's exactly what we find here. Yeah. With Saul being rejected, David coming on, David being the 8th, all his 7 brothers before them were not the one. David was the one. David is the new beginning for the kingdom of Israel here, and we see this here. So he was told to go and anoint a new king of the sons of Jesse. In verse number 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, I noted Asher's, I use this Schofield, don't believe in all Schofields, no, don't, you know, some. He's got some good stuff, but he's got some bad stuff too. But I was given a Schofield Bible when I graduated high school, and I've just learned where everything is in a Schofield Bible. So you can take a Schofield this size, you know, this size, and it's going to be the same places of everything of a Schofield this size and a Schofield this size. It's going to be on the same page, on the same page number, actually, and everywhere I know where things are. And so that's why I use that. But I thought it was interesting here let's see here. Where was I going with Schofield? Samuel took, he anointed the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And a beautiful countenance. I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, so, who knows? Schofield. Something about Schofield? No, I can't see out of these. All right. I can see, but I just got to get used to them. All right, God's rejection. So we see the new appointment in 1 Samuel 16, verse 21. David became, there we go, the new appointment. So, oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. Schofield has Asher's, I knew it was going to come back to me, Asher's chronology in Schofield's center column notes. At the end, in the center column, you'll see A.D. or B.C. in the year. And how close he is pretty, probably pretty close enough. But I noted B.C. 1063, approximately, when David was anointed to be king. And he become king immediately? No, and we're going to see that. Right. See some things in David's life. And first thing that I noted in David's life was that after he was anointed to be king, he was brought before Saul. In verse number 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit came, an evil spirit from the Lord, that's interesting, troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek a man who is a cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse in Bethlehem, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Key words there. Yeah. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. This is interesting too. And Saul, and he, Saul, loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took his harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I thought this is interesting. Before David was anointed to be king, Saul was still king. But David, before he became king, was Saul's armor bearer. He served Saul as an armor bearer. And I thought that was kind of interesting too. Because it's interesting to me, because when he fights a Goliath, Saul's like, who is that boy? It's the same boy that's been packing your armor around. The same boy that's been playing the harp for you to comfort you when that evil spirit comes upon you. You know, there's times, you know, and we can just exhort Brother Welch back there today, and I had to be exhorted in the same ways, is sometimes before we're put in our rightly position, we have to take a position underneath somebody, amen, and to serve in that place. You can go with Elijah and Elisha. Several years passed before Elisha got the mantle. But he followed Elijah along through those years and was his servant. And then when the time come, Elisha, yeah, all kinds of examples in the Bible, but Elisha got the mantle and got the double portion. And so it was a hard thing, but he got the double portion. And there is a time, I've heard it, I couldn't tell you how many men have said it, and I couldn't how many times I said it, but I heard several times by several men through the years that a call to preach is a call to prepare. And I want to commend Brother Chris for actually seeking the Bible college. It is a call to prepare. That's a wise move to get in the Word and actually to get, you know, a degree and an extra training. But sometimes it's not just all book learning. Sometimes it's pouring the water over the hands of the prophet. Amen. Sometimes it's washing the feet. Sometimes, you know, it's scrubbing the toilets and mowing the yard. Amen. And I'm just saying, you know, I've served in that position under Brother Hall. I've served in that position under Brother Shepherd. And, you know, there's times that, you know, sometimes before you're number one, you're number two. Amen. and if you're a good number two, then you'll be a good number one. Amen. If you're right in the number two position, when God finally promotes you, then you'll be right in the number one position. Amen. And we see that in David's life. I mean, Saul is crossways. Saul is disobedient. Saul has been rejected of God. But David comes along and becomes his armor bearer. He becomes his harp player. He is used of God in this position before he ever becomes king. Amen. And so he's anointed to be king, but he's not king yet. Amen. And I noted 1063 up there. We're going to get to the 1056 in just a little bit. All right, we're skipping on. Let's go to, of course, he fights Goliath and so on and so forth. And, of course, when he fights Goliath, we know what happens there. He comes back and the ladies start singing. And when the ladies start singing, so chapter number 18, he gets a covenant with Jonathan. Jonathan, after his battle with Goliath, him and Jonathan hit it off, and Jonathan, you know, gives him his garments and his sword and his and everything. Gives him his bow and all the way down to his girdle. Verse number 5 of chapter number 18. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. So again, he's a servant to Saul. Saul says, play, I'll play. Saul says, bear my armor. Although later on here, right there before Goliath, David went back to tending his sheep, and then the three oldest sons of Jesse follow Saul. So there's a transition there. So when David goes, when they go out to war against the Philistines, David was not his armor bearer. David was still tending his sheep. And there is a transition there. We're not going to go there. But so David went after he killed Goliath, and David or Saul set him to be a captain over so many men. And then it says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. So Saul said, "Do," he went. Saul said, "Jump," he said, "How high?" And he served Saul. But next key word here, next key phrase. And behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. Here's where he said it. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So he behaved himself wisely and he served Saul. And in doing so, then Saul set him up over the men. And as he was set up over the men, he was not only set over them, but he was accepted by them and also in the sight of Saul's servant. But then the women, they sang. Verse number 7, and the women answered one another, and as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? So Saul is starting to realize that David is finding favor among the people. And Saul isn't. And verse number 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Jealousy entered into the heart of Saul, and he began to eye David. Verse number 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and he departed from Saul. How did he know that the Lord was with David? Because he cast a javelin at him, and David dodged it twice. Amen. He said, I'm a pretty good shot with the javelin, apparently, and I missed. Somebody might be watching over David. Amen. So, but then verse number 14, key words here again. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. And I put out somewhere along life's journey, somebody preaching this, I guess. When David behaved himself wisely in verse number 5, David behaved himself wisely in verse 14, and we see it again in number 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. But I put out in my margin, he was an example in Solomon's life. If Solomon coming up under David, which Solomon prayed for wisdom and God gave him the wisdom, and the Bible tells us if we will pray for wisdom, that God will give us wisdom. And that's what I've been praying for. Oh, Lord, help me. Give me some wisdom. Amen. Not only, I mean, in all aspects of my life. Wisdom as a father. Wisdom as a husband. Wisdom as a supervisor. Wisdom as a preacher. I prayed for wisdom. And so that wisdom and God and David behaving himself wisely before the Lord and wisely before the people, then Solomon, as he was coming up under David, seen David's wisdom. And probably is what prompted him in his life when he was set up king. Lord, give me wisdom. But because Saul had seen that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. All right, so we see that the new appointing, the new anointing, and then the new appointment. It was in chapter 16, the fact that his appointing was not as king yet. His appointing was simply as an armor bearer. And I wanted, before we get too far ahead, I mean, I've done jumped one part ahead, but I wanted to turn back real quick to 16 when it talks about him being set before his armor bearer. Look at the biography. Now, this is before Goliath. It's described as being a ruddy youth in the next chapter. In the previous verses there, when he came before Samuel, and Samuel described him there as beautiful there. Let's see here. And he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. So we already see him described there. We see him described as a ruddy youth in chapter 18. But I thought it was really interesting here in chapter number 16. There when he was set as the armor bearer. The servant of Saul said, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, so he can play the harp. Now this is what was interesting to me. And a mighty, valiant man. Now, the other passages describe him as a ruddy youth, but this servant already sees him as a mighty, valiant man. And a M-A-N, man of war. Maybe he's seen that he'd killed that lion. Maybe this particular servant did. Maybe he knew about David killing that lion and killing that bear before we find out about it in the next chapter. I don't know. But he calls him a man of war. And even in his youth, was prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord was with him. And I thought, what a biography. I mean, what a biographical sketch of David in that verse. And how that God already was upon him in those ways. I noted that in my reading. I wanted to note that before you today. But he was wise in his behavior. He had wise actions. And then verse number 30 there. So, let's go, 15. And then verse number 30 of chapter number 18, right? Okay, and then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself, key word here, more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Amen. And so he behaved himself wisely, and here in chapter, and wisely again, and in verse number 30, more wisely. Amen. So, and because of that, favor was upon David. And I believe that wisdom was of the Lord. And I believe that favor was of the Lord because of how he behaved himself towards Saul. And so then, here's chapter number 24. And so we know that Saul has done set his eye on David. He's jealous of David. And it's interesting, verse chapter number 24 and chapter number 26, he sends 3,000 people to look for one man. He's out to get David. And so here's chapter number 24, verse number 1. It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi, and Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, I can just hear it. And here's what gets me too. Here's Saul. Everybody ever been in a cave? Everybody goes spelunking, cave exploring, all that good stuff. You know how caves echoes. So here's Saul in here, and Saul must be hard. I don't know, because I can hear this echoing through the cave, and I'm like, how can Saul not hear this? You know what I'm saying? Even a whisper echoes in a cave. But the men of David said unto him, and I can just hear, Behold, the day of which the Lord has said unto thee. Behold, the day, because they remain hidden in the sides of the cave there. Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And so a perfect opportunity to slay Saul. And that's what the suggestion of David's men was. Say, hey, he's here. And God done said he'd deliver his enemies. But, and even the act, he went ahead and just to let Saul know that he'd been there and how close he had been. He cut off the hem of the skirts. He cut off the skirts there of Saul's garment. But even doing that hurt David in his heart. Because he respected Saul, he honored Saul, and he was not going to lift his hand against Saul. And we read the story where it all comes about, basically to let Saul know how close David had been. And let Saul know, being alone there in the cave, without all of his men, how that David could have smote him, but David didn't. And then we see another instance, Again, let's go to chapter number 26. Verse number 2, And Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said unto Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. And so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping in the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath the... This is a repeat, like a skip on a record. We done heard this before, all right? And Abishai said to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed, key words, and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, for he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. And David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the Ben Hill, afar off, a great space being between them. David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, O Lord, O king, my Lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my Lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord hath stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Verse 21, then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes. This day, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord, and I put a star by this verse, the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David, thou shalt both do great things, and also shall still prevail. So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. So, in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7, and be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I couldn't help but to think of that verse when I thought about this right here, when he said, behold, thy life was much set by this day, or rewind, then Saul said, blessed be thou, my son David, thou shalt both do great things, and shalt also still prevail. Because of the way that David treated Saul, David was sowing all of David's life through these chapters. He was sowing because he was going to reap. And he knew that if he touched God's anointed, then he would reap in that respect. You know, and so on and so forth. And then we go on to see that so his wives' actions towards God's anointing, and then his wise instructions to his men in the same sense. His men said two times, the Lord is delivering your enemy into your hands. And he said, I'm not touching God's anointed. So David, though he wasn't king yet, we're getting there, he wasn't going to touch God's anointing, but he also instructed his men. You know, he was still a leader over them. He wasn't the king yet. But he instructed his men, we're not going to touch the God's anointing either. I'm not going to, and neither are you. You know, because God has put him in this place for this reason. And I said in a conversation recently, I said, it's amazing that even though we see the warning of Saul, what they were going to get. I mean, the warning of Samuel, what they were going to get in King Saul. This is what you're going to get. But by having Saul as king over them these years, God was preparing the people for a king like David. Amen. It took a Saul for them to accept a David. Amen? And it took David treating Saul like he was to be the king that he was when he finally got to be king. Amen? And so, wise instructions to his men. You're not going to touch him either. So, and then we see that in chapter 2 Samuel. So we know he dies. And then 2 Samuel, verse number 1, 11, 12, and 17. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them. And likewise, this is when he found out about David and Jonathan. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. Again, he is the leader, and the men followed. He said, I'm not touching him, and then now we're going to honor him. We're going to mourn him. He wasn't always the man that he needed to be. He didn't always do right, but we're going to honor him because he was God's anointing. So he was honored in his death, and so the men followed suit. They also rent their clothes, amen. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Verse number 17, and David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And so they honored him in his death, and then finally... Here in chapter number 2, verse number 4. And the men of Judah came, and there they, and this is Judah now, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah, and they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And then chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Let's see here. There we go. So the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And then it tells how old David was. So when I put, it says 56, this is 48 on the top of that one, but let's just use 56, 7 years. David was anointed to be king. And then 7 years later, he was appointed to be king. But during that 7 years, he had some things. He was an armor bearer. He was and he also honored the then reigning king in that 7 years. And the time came that David was set up. Amen. And so wise behavior is what I put at the top of this. And I think we can find a good example in David's behavior toward King Saul. You can go ahead and turn off that recording.